We thank the Lord for every gift and blessing. We have been talking about truth. And there is something important that we need to share about truth. First, I want to ask you the question, because we need that to be a little bit interactive. Do you really appreciate truth?
Yes, it's helpful.
If you are making decision regarding buying a car, would you like the seller, whether it's a dealer or an individual, to lie to you about what they know about the car?
No.
Why not?
Because I wouldn't have a chance to know that it would lie.
Because you will lose your money first, and secondly, you're going to go through lots of distress, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, I almost bought a car that looked, boy, it had only about 7,000 miles on it. Mm-hmm. And it was a Honda Accord. It was only 1 year old. And the price, impossible to beat. And I went to see it, and I opened the engine, brand new. And I looked at the seat, brand new. I turned the engine, everything sounded just fine. And I was ready to make the purchase, and I thank God for the issue and the power of prayer. I asked the guy if he was the original owner. And he said, no, he just got it from the original owner. And he showed me the paperwork. And boy, as I looked, the car was salvaged. It was just coming out of a severe car wreck. And somehow they knew how to put it together again. So it is hard to insure a car that is salvaged. But the guy never told me it was salvaged. He held from me this information. And he held from me all the pain that I would be going through. Do you like to be told the truth?
Yes, my revelation.
Now, do you like to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Even if it is going to cost you something?
Yeah,
most of the time. Not 100% of the time.
How do we deal with truth? Sometimes we covet truth if it is going to help us prosper according to our way. Sometimes we really struggle with truth. Why?
Because it's going to hurt us.
We think it's going to help us. Listen, truth will never hurt us.
No,
it's true. Okay?
I disagree with you, Pastor.
That's all right. What would hurt us is our understanding of how the truth can help us.
Yeah, the guy you're dealing with, how can you tell that he's telling the truth? When he says he is, you know he's not.
Yes. The truth does take toll on our feelings. And does take toll on our state of mind. And sometimes take toll on our bodies. But the truth, Jesus said, can only set us free. Mm-hmm. And it's true, it never hurt us. The hurt we're experiencing is the fire that is allowing us to be exposed to the power of truth, that it can burn the dross of our character. Now, how many of us went to school? I'm sure all of us went to school, right?
Yes. Right.
And at the beginning of the quarter, the teacher gave you a syllabus. And the teacher tells you what?
This is what you need to learn.
Here's 16 weeks. And the teacher gave you and let you read it. The first week, we're going to be covering these two chapters. Mm-hmm. And it tells you the homework, the midterms, the finals, question. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
God, it's in the book.
Help you.
Do you know it is the truth?
Well, I think it's a scam.
It is the truth.
It's
it is the truth. Now, if you decided that is too much work.
Oh, well.
And you know the teacher wants us to read this book and do this project and do this paper.
Oh, well.
What's wrong with them? Don't they think we only have math? Mm-hmm. The only thing we also have social studies and have biology and everything else, regardless of how you feel about it, and regardless of the pain it might really exert upon your emotions and your mind, you still believe it. Why?
It's for your own good.
Education.
You can decide what you want to do with it. You can decide, you know, the truth is the truth, but I'm not going to be doing my homework. I will not be studying for midterms. What will be the outcome?
I will fail the class.
Exactly. I will fail the class.
It's your fault.
And we have the choice, don't we?
Yes.
And many people in the world, many students, choose that. Mm-hmm. In their mind, with all of the senses, they believe that what the syllabus is saying is true. But they can make the choice whether they want to fail or whether they want to succeed. Now, how many of us believe that the Word of God is truth?
All of us.
All of us. I trust and I pray that all of us believe it. How much do we really believe it? Do we really believe it as the syllabus? Ask yourself the question and be truthful about it, because it will determine lots of things in your life and mine. Do we really believe it as the syllabus that we receive?
It's my instruction.
You know, you go to work as well, and your boss and your supervisor give you a list. Mm-hmm. This is your assignment for today and for the week. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
You see, I like that. You better believe it. You better believe it. You don't just believe it. You act on it.
Do it.
Why?
Because you
want to
keep your job.
You want to get paid.
Now, Sandra, you said that the truth hurts. It does. Wouldn't it take toll upon your heart and mind and body and emotion to believe and to act on the truth? Absolutely. You have to sit, and you're going to get kinks in your neck to do the homework and to sit down and read and read. You're going to have pain in your eyes. And then you're going to feel a variation of emotions. And then you look at the syllabus. Oh no, I'm not catching up. It takes toll upon you. But after it is done, and when you got the grade, how do you feel?
Great.
Proud of yourself.
And if you didn't do your assignment at work, what's going to happen to you? You're going to go bye-bye. Now, which pain you prefer? The pain of obedience or the pain of disobedience? The pain of obedience is sustainable. It is very sustainable. And God's strength will always be made perfect in our weakness. All of the promises of His goodness are still ours as long as we live by faith and not by sight. Many people would rather obey the boss and go and do their assignment because I'd rather go through the pain and the pressure these 8 hours of work. Because if I didn't, and if I lost my job, what other pains are waiting for me? The losses are much greater, and the pain and the suffering is much greater in disobedience. So the Bible is the Word of God. And we've been studying about the power of truth. And truth really set us on the right track of prosperity. In 3 John, that one chapter, the Apostle John is applauding a gentleman by the name of Gaius. And he said, Beloved, I wish that thou prosper and be in good health as thy soul also prosper. For I have rejoiced when I learned that thou walkest in the truth. The soul must prosper first if we are to prosper in anything else on this earth. When the soul is jammed and distressed, and we feel the absence of love and success. We go in many different ways in this world to try to satisfy the soul that is often against the Word of God, and we end up purchasing more problems in our lives. But as our soul prospers with the truth, our mental, physical, emotional, social, academic, and financial health also prosper. And it is the truth that God has given us in the Bible that grants us the foundation, the guidance, and the light and wisdom in all decision to prosper. The question is, do you believe it as you believe the syllabus? It is sad that if we had to address that question truthfully, we would perhaps answer, I believe the syllabus and my daily duties at work more than the Word of God. We are ready to temper and twist and change the Word of God to accommodate our daily desires rather than living the truth. Now, the Word of God is the foundation of every blessing. And I want to go to the words of Jesus because I thought I'm going to be closing this issue today. But I examined it again this week and the Lord added more light for me, knowing that I need it and I know you will need it. So I'm not going to be covering everything today. But I'm going to be covering enough information to help us understand where we are today and where we're going. And secondly, we will see how the mercies of Jesus, how the grace of Jesus, how the love of Jesus, how the power and the presence of Christ does work most of the hardness in our lives. That there is a part that is required of us, but the most part is done by Him. And that is where the miracle of faith in Jesus comes from. That is why I believe in Him. Because I know it is working. Because there are many areas in my life when I know truth. If you ask me, do you want to live the whole truth with all your heart and mind and soul? My desire is strong, yes. But if you ask me, do you live the word of truth with all your heart and mind and soul? I will say, no. I am falling short every day. But His grace is sufficient for me. For His strength is always made perfect in my weakness as I turn my every struggle, my every need, and my every desire to Him every day. And that is truth. It is by this truth that I am set free from what? My own failures. I am saved from my own sins. I am saved from the suffering of my own sin. I am also saved from the suffering of other people's sins. Because in every family, everyone is a sinner. And all of us are making mistakes. In the church, the same. In your workplace. In the government. Local, county, state, and federal government. All of these people are struggling sinners. Some of the decisions they are making are good. Many of these decisions are not good. All of these decisions will affect us in one way or another. Salvation from all of these sins come through connection to the Lord Jesus every day. And that is the truth that God came to set us free with. In John chapter 8. Next one now. John chapter 8. I want to start from verse 31. Listen to the words of Jesus. We have seen in this chapter Jesus Himself being the truth incarnate, perfect in truth, addressing a woman that was caught in sin and addressing all of her accusers. It is very sad to know that even though Jesus disclosed the truth about all of the sins The Bible said that all of them left one by one. Rather than confessing their sins to Jesus and asking for forgiveness and liberty, they left. The only one that remained was the woman caught in sin. And because she stayed and was ready to be condemned unto death, Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" And she got up and looked, "They are not here, Lord." I said, "Neither will I condemn you." So he saved her from the sins of others first. And now he saved her from her own sins and said, "Go, woman, and sin no more." In the rest of the chapters, he's addressing again this group of self-righteous believers who are leaders in the church. The scribes, Pharisees, the high priest, and many of the Jews, and they keep again trying to find fault in him. And they told him that you are from the devil. Every time he speaks the truth, they shut him down and they reject the truth. And as he continued to answer, the Bible said that some of those Jews believed on him. And he began to address them for a short time, but the rest of the Jews who did not believe on him began to attack him again. And now in verse 31, he's addressing both. Those ones that believed on him and those who did not. So let us look at his words. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here it is. Now that you believe what I say, you are believing the truth. Now you don't know all the truth. But if you remain connected with me, I will let you see the truth, and that truth will set you free from every suffering and every loss of every sin that you have committed and from the sins of others. We should never be afraid to know the truth. It's unfortunately the root cause of every violence in every country. The root cause is the absence of truth. And truth is the casualty in every beginning and every ending of every war. And it's the same for us. It's the same for internal conflict. It is the same for conflict in relationships, conflict in families, conflict in church. Everyone wants to give his and her own version of what is truth. It is the most difficult task of every counselor and every servant of God to wait upon the Lord to reveal to him the whole truth. It is once we got the whole picture and once we hear the whole truth that we are able to be set free from the suffering thereof. So really, in every conflict, in every relationship, I want to encourage you to address an issue. After you deal with your feelings and emotions and how upset and angry you are over this and this and that, kneel and pray and say, "Lord, okay, let me see the whole truth about my participation in the problem. Secondly, let me see the truth from your word. How can I deal with my side of the problem?" It's pretty complicated. It's a process. Jesus said, "Seek after truth, know the truth, and the truth will set you free from every suffering of your sins, the mistakes and the sins of others." It's liberating. It's like taking heavy weight out and away from your heart, from your mind and soul. You know, again, when your heart condemns you and you turn that to Jesus, no one is more faithful. No one is more understanding. No one is more of a savior than he is. He is able to save you and to deliver you and to heal you from the inside out by his living words of truth. And when God is for us, should we worry about those who stand against us? Now, you have rid yourself from a heavy, monumentous problem. Because you have been liberated in and through Jesus Christ, you are not worried about what people think of you. It's not important. If people thought you are a very nice person and very wonderful to be around, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And God bless them. If people thought you are really stuck up and you're boring and you're not fun to be around,
an irritant,
and if you're anchored in Jesus and trying to grow in grace, it's not important. Don't dwell on that. You pray for them. Did they find fault in Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Did they call him the chief of devils?
Did
they call him all manners of names?
Yes, I did.
Was he perfect in character?
Yes.
He was. So when you know the truth about yourself, and when you know the truth about the love of Jesus for you, and when you turn your life the way it is to Jesus every day, you don't have to worry about 80 to 90% of the worries that the whole world is inflicted. Because all of the mistakes that people are making, they are trying to accommodate someone else. That someone else is not Jesus, it is themselves. That's number one. Number two, other people who are trying to buy their love and acceptance and approval, and that's very costly. So Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him. Here is another challenge for him again. You see how many times he's speaking to them about truth? And how many times they are resisting the truth? Then said Jesus, answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They couldn't understand the depth of the truth that Jesus is portraying. They decided to put on the shades and to darken it even more. Do we do that in our decision making? When the Lord, through His Word, give us direction to decision making that is not exactly according to our liking, do we shut the Bible? Do we stop seeking help and counsel? I've done that many times in my life. That is what they are doing. They don't want to see the light. They want to walk in darkness. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Isn't that true? If we commit sins and we don't deal with it, we become enslaved to it. But if we commit sin and we acknowledge by the conviction of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that it is sin, what do we do about it? The Bible told us how to rid ourselves from the suffering thereof. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We cannot do it for ourselves. That's what I say. We have a portion to play, but Jesus does the rest of the work. He said, if you want to be a slave in sin, don't confess it. And if you continue in sin, you become slowly in bondage. And it's called in a stronghold. And then it becomes addiction. And then it becomes possession of the enemy. We don't want to get there, do we? Jesus is saying, this is the truth, that there is sin on this earth, and I know that. I have borne all the sins of the world, and I know how dangerous that is. And I know the suffering of sin. But I came to set you free from that. And he's saying, only He can. In the next verse, it says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now imagine that. We're all invited to be servants of God in His kingdom. Right, Cole? All of us are invited to be children and servant of God in His kingdom. You know what a servant does? A servant work. Yes.
does the master's will.
Absolutely. In the palace of the King of England there are, I think, 200 workers. Okay? We are all invited to serve the King, knowing that he has blessed us and we can be richly blessed when we are laboring in his own palace and kingdom. Now imagine if I stole something from the house of the King.
Looking very bright.
And imagine if the King already know that. Because his eyes, the Bible said, can see through all the four corners of the earth. Nothing is hidden from God. So he knows it. I know it. If I do not go to him and confess my sin, what is the chances that I'm going to be cast out? Very, very high. Okay? But since he already knows it, and if I go to him and I say, Lord, you have blessed me and saved me from the world outside of destruction and from my poverty and from my filth, and you brought me to your kingdom. My mind is still troubled. I am unable to adjust to the blessed laws of your kingdom. And I find myself stealing. Please have mercy upon me and forgive me. Will Jesus forgive us?
Yes.
He is the Son. He is the Lord of the kingdom. He said, I know that. And I am very thankful you are aware of it.
Yes.
And I am very thankful you are truthful. I understand. And there is no need to steal. Try not to steal. And here's a different way to look at that. And he tried to work with me until my sickness of sin is healed. When you come to the kingdom of God as a Christian, you do not become a saint.
No.
You become a saint in the making. It is a beginning of a brand new life of transformation. So it is better, Jesus said, if the Son, who is the Lord of the household, can set you free, you are free indeed. And that is what the Pharisees rejected. They did not want to confess their sins. They did not want to confess that they lack in many ways of life. They denied the truth that Jesus came to provide. And that is to save and forgive sinners. And verse 37. Jesus continues, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Again, he is speaking truth and now highlighting the sins. If you are truly the seeds of Abraham, why are you trying to commit murder and kill a man who did not do you any harm? Now he is opening them up. They couldn't see. And that's what he said before. You have eyes that you can see. You have ears that you can't hear. Lest you see with your eyes and hear with your ears and be changed. Many Christians do not want to hear a convicting sermon. That's why they don't read the Bible during the week. But many other Christians feel liberated with the truth. And they are not afraid because they know that God loves them. I was in the nursing home on Thursday having a worship service with these wonderful people. And I was asked a question before, how do I know that God loves me that much? And I asked some of them who had children and grandchildren. I said, well, you guys had children and grandchildren, didn't you? He said, yeah. And I said, okay. Were your children always obedient?
No.
No. I say, did you try many a time since they were little babies and toddlers and boys and girls? Did you try to tell them what is right and what is wrong? What is good for them and what is harmful for them? Yes. Did you try to show them how to do right and how to avoid wrong? Yes. Did they obey you in everything that you say? No. Now, did you decide at any day? Since you said that daily they disobey, did you decide that you are not going to do the laundry today because they don't obey? Did you decide you are not going to feed them today?
Ooh.
You decide you're going to throw them outside the house to sleep outside because they are not obeying? Did you decide you're not going to take them to school? Or did you continue to love them? He said, we continue to love them. I said, why? Because parents, regardless of how strong and how disciplinarian they are, and I'm talking about Christian parents, okay? I'm not talking about anybody else. Regardless of how disciplinarian they are, they cannot live with the thought that their children is hurting and lacking in anything. They feel it themselves. Now, Jesus said, if you parents who are struggling sinners know how to love your kids so unconditionally, how be it your Father in heaven? And that's a serious problem in Christianity, that sometimes we present God as a tyrant. If you don't obey and go with all of this, you will be lost and destroyed, and some people use the word, you're going to go to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if people are wrestling, really believing God, and want to follow all the precepts of the Bible, and they try and they fail every day.
At least they're trying.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what Jesus said.
Yes.
He didn't say go to anybody, and he didn't say solve it yourself.
No.
He said, I am your Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He alone can forgive sin, and he alone can save us from every suffering thereof. We can, because we are living in an embedded sinful earth. Everywhere we go, anytime you turn the TV on, anytime you read the newspaper, anytime you are engaging in conversation or walking into a store, you will see and hear sin everywhere. It is quite impossible that we will not be tainted by sin. Even Abraham was tainted by sin. Lot was tainted by sin. All of the prophets struggled because we are living on a sinful earth, and there is only one hope, and that is in the saving grace and mercy of Jesus. For we are saved by grace through faith in who?
Jesus.
In Jesus Christ. And it is not by works, lest anyone should boast, the Bible said. It is the gift of God. You know, parents love their children. It's a gift.
Yes.
It's a gift. They love their children. They go out of their way and go in great distress and go and work day and night because they want to make sure that their kids, even though struggling sinners, still have their needs met. And they still want to see their kids prosper and succeed. And that is exactly the desire of God for us. So think about that. How many times you went wrong and how many times your parents loved you. I am talking about Christian parenting. And if your parents love you that much, can you sit down and try to really examine the love of God for you? Because we grow out of our weaknesses into His strength. The Bible said that the path of the just is like a shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day of His appearing. We don't become so holy all at once after our baptism. Actually, that is the process and the beginning of the process of sanctification. The baptism does one thing. You are acknowledging truth. You are acknowledging that you are a sinner, and all of the past life you were wandering in sin without hope. Now you find a Savior who have borne all of your sins, past, present, and to come, and who have suffered every consequences thereof, and now want to save you from the sting of sin, which is eternal death, and want to give you a brand new abundant life on this sinful earth. And He promised that He will give you a brand new heart and a brand new mind, and He will put His new spirit in you. And that is the process of sanctification. It's a process of a lifetime. I wasn't where I am today years ago. And years from now, you will be much of a stronger, a more dedicated, fruitful Christian than you are today. If you never let go of Jesus every day. This is the truth. So now He's telling them exactly the truth, that you think you are Abraham's seed. And many people today can hear the same Christ saying, you think you're Christians. You think you're Christians. You know, I attend the Bible study and I visit other churches. And I feel a great blessing to be part of different groups of believers. And I see sincerity everywhere I go. But I also see people with limited truth. I have a choice. Even though some of the things I say is not from the Bible at all. And sometimes people say it and believe that it is from the Bible. And it's not in the Bible at all. I have a choice to condemn them and tell them where I think they're going. Or I can love them and pray for them and see if I can be of any blessing to shed the light of truth to them. Not as I know better than you are. No one knows better than anybody else but Jesus. But here is some light that you may want to reread. Because we're all in the same ship as Christians. And Jesus telling the Pharisees, you are trying to commit murder, even though you believe you are the seeds of Abraham. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. That's pretty serious. These are the leaders of the church. These are the devout leaders who are teaching and preaching to the people in the church. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham walked with God. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. They don't believe. Abraham was called the friend of God. They are choosing to become the enemies of God. And the Lord is trying to set them free by the living words of truth. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. These did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they claim that they know God. Now listen to the words of Jesus. It was pretty harsh. He graduated in the process of discussion with them. He started in first step. And he moved to the second. In every step they reject the truth. And then he opened them up to tell them, I know exactly who you are. You're trying to kill me. You're trying to commit murder. No, you got it wrong. These are not the children of Abraham. Neither are the children of God. So listen to how it graduated now. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. They did not want to hear his word. They had an agenda. My way is the right way. And here is the hard news. Ye are of your father the devil, Jesus said. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Boy, that really told them exactly where they are. Said, be very careful now because you are verging into the area of demon possession. You keep rejecting the truth, rejecting to discover who you are and how you can be delivered by the living words and love of Jesus. And you insist on your own ways. It become eventually demon possession. He said, it is the devil who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. He never wanted to hear the truth or accept the truth. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not. because ye are not of God. You know, I have come up with some very serious things about truth that I want to just begin it today and finish it next week. Can I see? Yes. That's a good beginning. How can the truth effectively work for us and others and not against us? Here's things I learned from my own experience. And I thank God Almighty that the Lord saved me from serious consequences because I resisted the truth and rejected it for some time. And now I see many Christians doing that. So how can the truth work for us? You know, we should not be afraid. It is the devil that put fears into our mind regarding the words of truth. And I'm going to be expounding on that. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, this is the story of the Samaritan woman. Another individual in the Bible who was a sinner and was a notorious, well-known sinner. Everyone ostracized her and everyone would stay away from her because they knew who she was. When she met Jesus, the living truth, he began to open her up. And when he opened her up, unlike the Pharisees, she immediately answered him and said, "In the truth, I can see that thou art a prophet." Yeah. Because he asked her, "Go get your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." I said, "You said it true. You don't have one, you have many of them." And you know, she could have been offended, called him name, and run away. Because of the gentleness of Jesus and because of the Spirit of God in him, she felt a need to be saved. But she didn't know it. And slowly the Lord Jesus began to reason with her, and she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew, and a dialogue took place, and the Lord began to correct her errors because she thought, as a Samaritan, that God will only hear those who are from the descendant of Jacob, who worship in Jerusalem on that mountain. And the Jews believed that God will only hear those who will worship in the temple of Solomon in Jerusalem and who look toward the east. So the Lord Jesus told her some truth. He said, "Here is the truth for you and for all generation to come." He said that God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in the truth and in the spirit. For the time shall come, and now it is, when my people shall worship me in the truth and in the spirit. The truth and the spirit is not separable. The truth is in the living Bible, guided by the Holy Spirit. So, if you want the truth to work effectively in you, when you read the Bible at home, and when you go to church, make sure you are coming seeking truth about who you are versus who Jesus is. And how Jesus came to set you free from who you are, from your sins, and from the sins of others. That is good news. So when you read the Word of God, it is inevitable that you will be convicted of your sin and the errors of your way. That is what the Word of God is for. Is that good news or bad news?
It's good news.
It is good news for those who want to be set free. It is very bad news to those who want to stay the way they are. And why do people want to stay the way they are?
Because they're afraid and change.
The word fear, very good. Fear of change means fear of what? If I live the truth and speak the truth, I fear I'm going to end up in conflict with some people. If I know the truth and follow the truth, I fear I'm going to lose some money and maybe my job.
Your friends too.
If I know the truth and live the truth, I fear I will be rejected from a relationship that I am very dependent upon. If I know the truth and live the truth, I fear the worst case scenario. Jesus said, no, that is exactly what the devil wants you to live by. We do not live by fear. We live by faith. And the Apostle John said that fear has torment. But perfect love casts out all fear. And so often Jesus told his disciples, fear not, ye of little faith. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, and be of good courage. Fear is the most powerful disabling emotion, if it is the negative fear. But the fear of God is really the acceptance of truth the way it is. So if you're going to be set free and prosper, it can only happen through worshiping Jesus in the truth, in the spirit. Many people don't read the Bible because they fear truth. Many people do not go to church because they fear to hear the word of truth. Listen, Jesus knows everything about me anyway. And if he is calling me to fellowship with me in private devotion or in a church or through a sermon or an evangelist, it's because he loves me. He said, I know about all of your struggles. I know about all of your sins. I know about all of your desires, good and evil. I know I love you still and I want to save you. You cannot do it on your own. Let me do it for you. That's good news. So how does truth work for us? You must seek truth about yourself. Most of us Christians seek truth about others. It's a serious problem. You know, I'm a pastor and I love to help people. There's no question. But I assure you, I don't spend any moment of my life trying to analyze other people's struggles. Unless the Lord said, here's a phone call. Someone need help. Someone need counseling. And what I do right away, regardless of all of my knowledge of the Bible and all of my education, all of this doesn't mean anything. I kneel and pray. And I always tell the Lord, I cannot handle the complexity of my life. Or it's impossible to handle the complexity of other people's life. If you called me and you appointed me, you have to give me what I don't have. Because I don't know the true struggles of every human being. And I don't know the root causes that can go back years. Secondly, I don't know which thing to target first. And I don't know how to target it. And I learned it is not something I seek after at all. Because when you bear someone else's burden, it becomes heavy. But if God appoints, no power can disappoint. So many Christians today, that's why we have denominations. Everyone thinks they have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And they are unable to sit down and pray together and sing together and eat together. Because if they do, then everyone has to be like them. And if you don't become fully like me, I'm going to be angry. And I'm going to label you all of these names. Now, I was in that condition years ago. I would not step to worship with believers who did not believe like me. That is how dangerous it is. That's where the Pharisees were. And for a great many years now, I praise God Almighty, I have been set free by the Spirit of Truth. You know, it's kind of amazing. Kind of amazing. And I asked that of many people. Said, no. I don't go and worship in this church. I don't go and worship in this. Which is true. You don't go to a church that is not preaching truth. That's very true. You have to worship in a place where there is the Spirit of Truth. But, you know, we don't have a problem. All of these Christians have no problem turning on the TV and listening to the devil in every movie. No problem. No problem listening to all of this and reading all kind of materials, but they have a problem praying with other believer who does not believe 100% like them. Is there a problem?
Does it make sense?
It doesn't, because they refuse to know the truth about themselves. When you know the truth about yourself, you are set free. You will love every human being, like you or not like you, sinner or righteous, as Jesus loved you. Now, that does not mean I'm going to go ahead and do what everyone else wants me to do. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Jesus said. And I'm not going to go and require that everyone outside to do what I think they ought to do. Now I played a very dangerous role. That's the role of Christ. Either Christ or Lucifer. But I will do everything I can to be a blessing to everyone that I can. That is Christ. That is truth. And that's exactly how Jesus summarized it all. You receive the love of God as a struggling sinner, love others exactly the same. That is life more abundantly. Yeah. Second, believe and walk in the truth that your soul and life prosper in every aspect. The Word of God told us how to prosper physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, emotionally, academically, and financially, and that is very true. It's very true because I know when I believed and tried to live it, it worked. And I pass that to as many people as I can, and I had the same spirit of truth setting God's people free and transforming them and prospering them. It's not because I said it, because the words of Jesus is true. And prosperity is not in the abundance of things you possess. Say, that is complete miscomprehension. Jesus said that life is not in the abundance of things you possess. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord will give you everything that you need, and maybe a little bit more. But He will not give you too much temptation. Because the Bible also said that many people have left the faith and the words of truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, for they have loved money. And Apostle Paul reiterated of that the love of money is the root of all evil. And Jesus said, you cannot worship me in the truth and in the spirit and worship money in the same time. Okay? Therefore, the Lord always give us blessings, and if we live by the words of truth, we will be set free from the suffering that is never expected. It just happens. But if we live with the truth, even as struggling sinners, and we turn those struggles to Jesus every day, we are safe and secure from great many alarm. If we are to prosper, our soul must prosper. It can only prosper by the words of truth that is written in 3 John, verses 1 to 4. Third principle, in 2 Timothy 2 and in Ephesians, handle the truth aright and share it in love, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. It says, study to find thyself approved of God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. And in Ephesians it talks about when we communicate the truth, we must not communicate it with a sledgehammer. You should and you shouldn't, and people get angry with each other. It said, speak the truth in love, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. The goal is, what is the goal of sharing truth? Is it to project your own opinion and force other people your way? Or is it, this is something so wonderful I have experienced, and I just want to share it with you. You read it, and however the Holy Spirit leads you, I love you still. It's true. When I share the Word of God, I share it unconditionally, and I share it with the complete belief that people may or may not follow it. They're not following me. I would get upset and uptight and angry if people didn't do it my way, if my focus was on me. But I would love everybody still. Because I struggle with sin every day.
And Jesus loves me still. And Jesus said, listen, Abraham,
I will treat you exactly the way you treat others. For what you do unto others, it will be done unto you. If you judge and condemn others for their follies and failures and to follow the truth, so did you choose your own judgment. Is that serious enough?
Yes.
That is your judgment. God does not judge us. We judge ourselves by our choices and decisions and by how we interact with others. So when we read the word of God and the word of truth, we don't argue about it. Okay? I haven't got into argument on doctrine for a great many years, praise God. Unnecessary. And I only answer questions. That is how. I pray every morning, Lord, here I am. You know what you have given me. You know what I don't have. I just want you to use everything that I got to bless humanity. But let me never speak my own words. And here's the sign I always put. I don't volunteer any doctrine information unless people ask. That's what Jesus said. Ask and he shall receive. Seek and he shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. When people ask me, I don't tell them, you ought to do that because I'm doing it. I say, this is why I am doing it. I found it in the Bible here and there and everywhere. But you know, you pray about it and read the Bible. The Lord will guide you. Now, if the person did not, and I choose to condemn the individual, what's going to happen to me? I'll be condemned exactly by my choices. So that is scary enough. So how can the truth effectively work for us and others? Follow these biblical principles. It's the Holy Spirit, led holy men of God, including Jesus, to show us how the truth can set us free from our own suffering and how it can set other people from their own suffering. How the truth can bless us all if we believe it and follow it as Jesus did. Next slide, please. Safeguards regarding the truth. In Romans 16, 17 and 18. Accept and do not walk contrary to the truth, even if it is convicting and hurtful, Sandra. It's a question you ask. You know, when we hear things that convict us of our troubles, some people, because they feel it is a mammoth complication, they are not ready to deal with truth. They just flee. Not because they hate the truth. They cannot handle the truth at this time. And I have visited with many people who told me that. And many people came to visit Missions of Compassion throughout the years, and one of them said, man, I feel my hand was shaking when you were speaking. And we talked about it, and he began to see that he sees his problems like a huge mountain that cannot be moved. So when you're speaking, I've been seeing all of the problems I have, and I don't know how to take this problem away. I feel that I wanted to flee from the sanctuary. That's truth. Truth. That's a good heart. Doesn't make that individual a wicked individual. He's speaking the truth in love. That I'm so convicted, I don't know where to go from here. Other people really do not want to change. And they will tell you right in your face. All of this is, I don't want to hear it. And I see.
My life the way it is.
Yes. And I see some of these people at Eden Hospital. Some don't want pray. Some say, I don't believe in God. You know? I don't feel angry. I don't feel upset because they are not rejecting me at all. They're speaking the truth. But they don't know that when I leave, I lift him to the Lord in prayer. Because I know that if the thief on the cross had an opportunity before he took his last breath, I believe that Jesus can still give people an opportunity when that time comes. That is love. And that takes all resentment out of my heart. That's how to love others as God loved us. So when you know the truth, don't be afraid of its conviction. It's healthy. You know, if you have a loving mom and a loving dad,
and you are making bad choices in relationships. If they truly love you and care about you, they will say something. Right, moms and dads?
Yes.
Yeah. They will say something. The thing of getting serious in a relationship and you want to get married to a certain individual who is having lots of problems, or she's having lots of problems, because they love you, you said, listen, this is going to be your decision. But it is good that we share with you our life experiences. We will tell you what we see, we'll tell you what is good, we'll tell you about the challenges, we'll tell you what you can do about it before you get married. Right? Now, if the child went this way or that way, your love is unchanged. Correct? Your love is unchanged. But you live with peace. Okay? You live with peace. And that's what Jesus is doing with all of us every day. Regardless of what happens, we make the final choice into how we want our relationship with Jesus to be. And that is very important. You know, many children also want certain jobs. And parents always happy when their kids get good jobs. But if they feel that the job is going to be creating lots of problems for them, they are not going to be holding the information back. A Christian was looking for a job, true story, and I'm not going to go through details. And he needed the job for many good things. You know, he needed the money to take care of lots of good things like all of us. And coming from a computer background and having a very good degree in it and good experience in it, he was offered a job in an X-rated company. And they offered him a very good salary. I'm not going to be opening the discussion here, should he take it, should he not. The parents are dedicated Christians. And he was very excited. And he tried to convince the parents that, listen, you know me. I am not going to be part of any of this mess. My job is in the computer to design a program for this and this and that. He was trying to make darkness light in his own mind. But the parents very lovingly said, no, my son. And they began to encourage him to see the light. That this is what the devil is doing. He is buying your heart and mind and slowly getting you in trouble. Now, we know that today you do not think of committing any of the sins. But the Bible is saying, by beholding, we become changed. If you choose to work where the devil is, where he owns everything and programs everything, it is quite impossible for you to become anything else. And I'm going to end the story here. I'm not going to tell you what happened later on. But parents and also brothers and sisters in Christ and the family of God always seek truth and seek to speak the truth in love and never afraid to share the truth. Why? Because we are not judging each other. The truth can only set us free. But the truth is also a choice. It's not something that we hammer into people. All of us have to accept or reject. Romans 1:25 and 2 Thessalonians. Something serious happened there. Some believers changed the truth. Said, don't temper with or change the truth to accommodate your sinful struggle, lest you receive a strong delusion to believe and live a lie. If it's a struggle with sin, call it the way it is. It is a struggle with sin. And Jesus saved me. I can never trust myself, for I cannot overcome. But I trust you to save me from my sins and the consequences thereof. But there are some people in the Bible who are believers who changed the truth and omitted some of the important things to accommodate their own sinful desires. And something horrible happened in the Bible to them and to their families.
The worst thing you can do is to temper with the truth, because you are tempering with Christ himself. You cannot change God. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot change that. Don't temper with it. Today we have many organizations who went to rewrite the Bible and created lots of Bible versions. Lots of Bible versions. And if you read some of the newer versions, they omitted certain things from the Bible. And they changed the text a little bit to accommodate the present culture. Bible is warning, don't do that. You will believe it, it will become you, and the consequences is yours. And everyone who believes in your ways. 2 Timothy 3, 1-9. This is a very powerful passage in which I will conclude with. Wow. I will conclude with. It talks about in the latter days which we live in, all of these things will be happening. People will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Disobedient, discontent, unholy. Mm-hmm. And they go about everything that's happening in our life today. And then he goes down to conclude about accept the truth, don't temper with it, lest you become corrupt and reprobate. Okay? He say, do not resist the truth, lest you grieve the Holy Spirit of truth, and your mind become corrupt and a reprobate. And it is sad enough, the people that I know that reach this point never return back. Judith was one of them. How many times Jesus tried to love him and said he shouldn't do it? He believed the other voice. He thought he can have money, wealth, and fame, and an important name, and also have eternal life. That he can trick both sisters. It did not work. Jesus came to seek to save Judas and everyone else. If we accept our state as Peter did. You know, Peter had the same problem that Judas. Self-centered and self-sufficient. And he thought that he can buy the kingdom with his might. And he took the sword and cut the man's ear. And Jesus said, put it back in your dagger. Those who take by the sword, by the same shall be taken. Wow. And then he said, Jesus said, one of you will betray me. And Peter jumped the gun and said, me? If the whole world denied you, I will never deny you, even if I had to die. Uh-huh. And said, Peter, you among other people will be denying me 3 times. When Peter denied Jesus, and the words of truth came ringing and echoing with conviction, what did the Bible say Peter did?
Wept
and repented. That was the major difference between him and Judas. He wept and went to Jesus just as he is and repented that he was that weak. And eventually we've seen him later, becoming one of the most powerful apostles of all times, because he confessed his sins and turned every weakness to Jesus. Jesus is always able and ready to make something out of him that is nothing. If you know that you are nothing and that Jesus is everything, and if that is the truth, and if you turn the clay into the potter's hand, he knows how to remake it and make something beautiful out of nothing. May the love of Jesus and his living truth dwell in our heart. Yes, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And the loving truth of his saving grace continue to forgive us our sins, to mold us in righteousness, and to use us as vessels of honor, unto praise, unto worship, and unto service to all of our families, to his church, to our neighbors, and to the world at large. For freely we have received his love and truth, and freely we ought to give it back. This is my, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we stand together? Lord, we thank you for the truth of your perfect and everlasting love for every ailing, failing, sinful human being like us. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit and your living word that daily convict us of what is good, what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, what is sinful and what is righteous. We thank you, Lord, for us to come with all of our struggle with sin, with all of our errors, to surrender all to you. Thank you that you did not reward us according to our own iniquities. Thank you for your faithfulness and love that is so deep and strong and rich to save us and to heal us from the inside out. We commit our lives and all of our decisions, past, present, and to come, all of our struggles to the control of your Holy Spirit of truth, to guide us every step of the way, to grant us your victory, and to give us comfort and hope to live and to wait for your blessed will to be accomplished in our lives and through us unto others. And may the end of the road find us ready and faithful to obtain the gift and the reward of eternal life in and through Jesus, do we trust and pray. Amen.